And if you would turn in your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 32. As you know, I've desired to slow down here and take my time with this passage because I believe it is in many ways its application or the lack thereof is the key not only to a joyful marriage or marriages yet to come, but also to the growth and the maturity of the church in its relationship with Jesus Christ, as we saw in this passage a number of weeks ago. And this morning, I'm going to look at the role of wife and God's call to her to be submissive to her husband's role as head of the home. For the sake of time this morning, I'm going to bring forth from the scriptures what biblical submission looks like in the role of a wife. As you've already looked at the role of the husband in depth last week, and before that we looked at the role of how these roles together are intended to show forth the glory of Christ and the church, and the witness of the church and Christ's love for her. And then next week, I want us to look at the sin that keeps us from doing what God calls us to do. And we'll be looking through this passage at Genesis chapter 2 and 3, as we will look at sin and how sin has come to mar the image of Christ in both men and women, and their roles as husbands and wives, so that the church cannot see any longer and the world cannot see the glory of Christ as well. But this morning we return to this challenging section of Ephesians that challenges but also seeks to sanctify our modern ideals. We call ourselves Reformed, and we think about that in the terms of Reformed theology, sovereignty of God, and on and on. But one of the keys of the Reformation was a call to reformation. Now, what does that mean? It's almost like defining a term from within. The call of the Reformation was to go back to the scriptures and to apply the word of God and God's word alone to our lives. So in that way, we are being reformed today. So we are reformed in our theology, yes, but we're being called to be reformed in our hearts, our lives, our families, our characters every week as we come to the scriptures, that God may reform our lives to reflect the reality of scripture. Therefore, I would ask us, today, especially women and wives, but also men, to look at this passage unfiltered. Now, that's hard to do at any time. There's some misgivings and misconceptions that come because of the filters in our life. Even these words we'll snicker at, we'll get angry at, we'll think differently at. Why? Is it because of the Word of God? Or is it because there are current misconceptions to the reality of the Word of God that we bring and impose upon the Word of God, our current marriage or our past marriages? My husband's character, his beliefs or his non-beliefs filter how I view this text and what it's calling me to. Our parents' marriages and the goodness or the lack of goodness therein, how my dad treated my mom as his wife, whatever that might look like in your home or family of origin, filters how you see this. Faulty church teaching and applications. The focus on wives without calling the men to their roles and their character as godly, sacrificial, submissive husbands. And if we're going to grow from the application of Scripture, we need Scripture to reform and transform our views, not our views to help us make sense of Scripture. And so my prayer for us this morning is that we would allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to transform and reform our hearts, our lives, and our marriages, present and future. So read with me the Scriptures, if you would. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let every one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wives see that she respects her husbands. The flowers fade and the grass withers, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father, open the eyes of our heart. And Holy Spirit, would you grant power, not in the authority of an office or a word said by a mortal, sinful man, but clarity that comes to the exposition of the word, so that the word's authority might have its impact on our lives, both now and for future generations' sake, but mostly for Christ's sake, for his glory and honor, for our joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Why begin with the earlier verse? The reality is, in the Greek, verse 22 doesn't have the word submission in it. Why is that submission present here? Because it follows from verse 21, meaning it's a connection where Paul is saying, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. So it would be read like this in the original Greek. Be submitting yourselves to one another out of reverence to Christ, wives to their husbands as to the Lord. Now it's clearly implied here and taught later on that submission is what is being spoken of. And I would even suggest that maybe this was the reason why the section for wives comes before the sections for husbands, even though I took them out of order. And in these verses, we see this call to submission. Later on in verses 23 to 24, we recognize that we need wisdom to understand the larger context for this call to wives to be submissive. Because it's as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, there's a lot of things to unpack here. It's not just simply the word submission. What does everything mean? Because on the surface, that seems like that we're just handing husbands a blank check and a gun. And yet nothing could be further from the truth. There's a need here to understand context. Lou will tell you that one of our Old Testament professors harps on this. Context is king. because context tells you what you need to know. So allow me to help us to understand context, because the context needs to help us to understand and apply the text. As godly husbands cannot ignore context in order to impose their own will on their wives in an unbiblical manner, neither does context allow wives to use context to ignore God's call to submit to their husbands. And so that's the quandary we're wrestling with this morning. So allow me to remind us of context. Always important to remember that the context is the whole of Scripture as well. Why is that important? Because in the whole of Scripture, God's desire is to show us His heart, His goodness, His grace, His love. Therefore, in that larger context, this call to submission as to the one with husbands is a call from a good God who loves us and desires for us the fullness of the joy that we can find in Him. That's important. Because otherwise, this sticks up almost like a splinter in our finger. Everything else is fine, but boy, every time I bump the splinter, it hurts. No, this is intended by a good God who loves us to show us His greatest desire. The second context is the covenant relationship between God and His people on which marriage is based both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the covenant relationship that many churches don't focus on because the lack of understanding of covenant theology, that covenant relationship is this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, covenant people. We see that in the Old Testament, in God's pursuing love of Israel, even to the point that He would call Hosea to marry a woman of unfaithfulness in order to show His pursuing love for His bride. And in Christ Jesus, we see the sacrificial nature of Christ and husbands to be likewise for the glory of the bride. And then we come to Ephesians, this smaller context, God's loving initiative towards His people that we've unpacked in chapters 1-4. We are His chosen people. We just sang it. We have everything in Christ. We have been justified by Christ and Christ alone. We're saved by grace through faith, even when we were sinners. It's His pursuing nature that calls men to pursue their wives in grace and love. And then in chapter 5, we come to this verse that says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. If we don't know the God of the Scriptures, we cannot imitate Him in our marriages. So you have some guy who says this, I'm going to use this to abuse my wife, does not know God, period. And so to take that out of context is to be abusive not simply to his wife, but is to be abusive to the God in whose name he abuses her. How many commandments are broken in that one reality? We are called to imitate Him. And as we looked earlier on, that the roles of husband and wife are different from the persons of men and women. What do I mean by that? In our persons as men and women, we are equal. Completely and utterly before the throne of God, there is no one greater or better or lesser or weaker in those realities. But in those realities, we're called into roles. Men are called into the role of husband. Wives are called into the role of women are called into the role of wives. And in the equality of who they are before God, in their roles, they are called to submit And we saw earlier on that we saw that recognized in the very person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are equal in power and glory, says the Catechism, and yet Christ submits to the will of the Father as Redeemer of the people of God's people. The Holy Spirit submits and cannot speak a word without the Father giving him that authority. And yet, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are never unequal in person. But in their roles in salvation, they model for us that which we're called to as well. Then we come to this verse and we hear God's intention that they are to submit in everything. So let me give you a couple points. First of all, wives, why should you submit to your husbands? Before we even get to husbands, you should submit to your husbands as God calls husbands to submit in sacrifice to their wives for a couple reasons. But the most important reason is this: you submit for the sake of Jesus Christ. Verse 21 and 22 says this. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, as to Christ. Wise, present, and future, God calls you to submit to your husbands, not because they are worthy, and not only when they are worthy. You are called, like husbands are called, to sacrifice. You are called first to submit, not to your husband for their sake or the marriage's sake. You're called to submit to Christ for Christ's sake and for the glory of his name in your marriage and the joy that that will bring to your marriage. See, if your focus is simply on your husband, you'll miss the glory of God. And where there is no glory of God, there is no joy for man. But if you're focused on the glory of God and say, Father, this is difficult for me. I don't know if my husband's even a believer or not. He's not acting the way you're calling him to. Yet I am going to submit for your glory's sake, that I may know the joy of the Lord. The second thing is very obvious. First of all, it's obvious, but it's important for us to recognize. Again, the context helps us to see that there are limitations to this submission. The obvious one is that wives are called to submit to who? To their own husbands. Once again, the emphasis is not on the submission of women to men. It is a submission of a covenant relationship. A wife is to submit to her own husband as to the Lord. Therefore, women are not called to submit in everything just to men because they're men and they're women. That's not the point at all. Neither is Kelly called to submit to Lou. Though she's a wife and he's a husband, she's not his. It's in that covenant relationship between a husband and a wife where the husband is exemplifying Christ in sacrificial leadership to his wife that the wife is called in that context to submit to her own husband. And then finally, we begin to see a few more limitations of everything. Now, you might say, well, why? How are you limiting everything? Because everything seems to mean everything. But look at the context. There are two mentions of Christ and the church. Two mentions of Christ and how the church is to submit to him, which limit the scope of a wife's submission to her own husband. And in a few ways, they are important to understand. Notice that we are to submit to our husbands, wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Now, with that comes a certain amount of limitations and yet a lot of work as well. Here, John Piper was very helpful for me. So here are a couple things that submission does not mean. Ladies, get your pens out and write this down. Husbands too. Submission, God never calls a wife to submit to anything that is sinful or evil. How do we know that? Because Jesus doesn't call the church to submit to evil, to submit to sin. Therefore, in that relationship, as unto the Lord, the husband is to call a wife into a godly place, but never into sin. So if your husband says, hey, we're going to commit fraud, and I want you in on this, it goes against the very word of God. And when it goes against the word of God, the authority is greater of God's. And so here's what we do. What do I say then, Pastor? This is what we say. I long in godly, in respect to the glory of God and to the obedience to his word, I long, and I hope you know this, husband, I long to submit to you and to your leadership in our home. But in this place where you are calling me to submit to something that is ungodly and goes against the very word of God, I cannot submit but to Jesus. But I want you to know how I long to submit to your godly leadership. Submission, second point, does not mean that a wife is to put the will of her husband before the will of the Lord. Her husband is just, is a person who God has called him, her to, but she is captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we explain some of this? I think that there are times and places where wives submit to the will of their husbands, and it's not direct sin, like fraud. But there needs to be a limit that says, hey, you want me to not go to church on Sunday mornings. I long to submit to you, but this is a place where I want to be fed, because when I am fed, I am a better wife to you. So in areas where the husband doesn't have those very same interests, we need to say, I long to submit to you, but the places that God is calling me into that you have no interest to, my desire is to go there to honor God so that in honoring God, I can be for you the wife that God is calling me to. And there's times where wives will just simply say, my husband doesn't like me going to church. So every once in a while, I just say, no, I won't go to church for his sake. And I would say to you, for his sake, go to church. Spend time with your husband. Now, if that's the only hour of the day where you can't see him, there's a lot of work to be done. Well, where the gospel is present, you will reflect the gospel more fully, having come from there in godly ways towards a husband. Point number three, submission by a wife does not mean that she leaves her brain at the altar. If you ever hear somebody say that a husband say, I do the thinking in this marriage, don't hit him, let me hit him. That's sinful and wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because she is created in the image of God. She is created with glorious thoughts. She's created with intelligence. She's created with creativity. She's created by God to reflect him. And to deny that thinking in the process of the decisions that need to be made is wrong. And so therefore, as husbands, like I said last week, if a husband does not seek the counsel and advice of his wife because she is somehow lesser to him, is a fool. A biblical fool. Instead, we should honor that and say, tell me what you think. Help me to understand your reasonings. I long to honor you in the decision that I am making for the good of our home. Your mind, your way of thinking is not mine. And I am so thankful that God has put you in because I have blinders. And you have wonderful ways to think about things that I can miss at times. Point number four, submission does not mean that a wife should do anything that would degrade her as a woman or as a wife. She must be true to the image of God. Therefore, any husband that denies the image of God in her and seeks to create her in his own image is degrading the reality of who God has created her to be. Now, those are difficult things, and they have difficult applications. Next point is this: submission does not mean that you have to agree on everything. There are times where you're going to have discussions and discussions and discussions and discussions. And after a while, the husband might make a different choice for his family. And like I said last week, we will answer before the throne of God in the decisions we made and how we came about those decisions. We will answer to God as that. Submission does not mean agreement. It means discussion. It means that we have differing viewpoints. It means that we take those viewpoints together. And in the end, you submit because God has called you to, but it doesn't mean that you have to agree. And so you've given your thoughts and your opinions and you've talked it through, and a different decision is made. And we have to honor that. As elders, we're called to submission. One of the vows we take is, will you submit to your brethren in the Lord? And that means if we're in the minority on the session and a decision that needs to be made, we speak our mind, we speak our peace, and then we submit. Unless it's in an ungodly manner and then there's an ungodly thing, then we have bigger troubles. But we submit, even though we don't always agree. Then finally, the submission does not mean that a wife should avoid an effort to influence or change her husband. Sometimes we think, well, so if I just submit, I don't have to actually challenge him in his ungodliness, or I don't have to challenge him in this or that or the other. We're told, in fact, that a godly wife to an unbelieving husband should seek to what? Not submit only, but to win him. Win him to Christ. And so in that, it's not just simply saying, oh, I'm just going to let that go because I have to submit and he can do whatever he wants. Influence that. Talk about that. Challenge him on that. Because that will help him to grow into godliness. But within the bounds of Scripture and in Christ, everything means in Christ Jesus. And here's a wonderful quote from Piper again, a definition of godly biblical submission. Biblical submission is the divine calling of a wife. Biblical submission is a divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership in their marriage. Biblical submission is a divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership in their marriage and help carry it through according to her gifts. Help carry it through according to her gifts. Well, if that's what submission does not include, what does submission include? And here Dr. Chappell in his book, Made for Each Other, has been very, very helpful. Dr. Chappell says this, that submission is to actually complete another. He quotes a quote from his book, says this, sacrificing oneself to make a relationship and those in it whole. A marriage will never fulfill God's purposes for a couple or for the individual partner if they abandon care for the fulfillment of others. A wife's responsibility involves pouring herself into the completion of her husband. The scriptures in Genesis chapter 2 says that God created woman to be a helper or to be a helpmate. And again, our modern sensibilities would say, that ain't going to happen. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Glorious hymn that comes from Psalm 90. God is my helper, my ever-present helper in times of trouble. See, that term helper describing a wife is also the term used in Scripture referring to God as our helper, to complete us, to come alongside of us, and to grow us. The second thing that Dr. Chappell suggests is that submission is to honor another person, to exercise one's gifts for the glory of another. Just as we saw, husbands are called to honor their wives by using their gifts and their position as heads to bow and sacrifice themselves for the glory of their wives. If you look at Proverbs 31, you'll recognize that in Proverbs 31, we often look at that and we often say, hey, this has to do with kind of the independence of a wife. Look, all she can do. But if you look at the context of Psalm 31, most of those actions are happening for the sake of the husband or the family. There are giftings and abilities and talents that are being intended for the greater good of her husband and her family. And in that is glory. So I ask some questions. Do my words and my actions, my attitudes support my husband so as to enable him to lead my family to the better knowledge of God? And then thirdly, godly submission is to help mature another. We have seen a wife should not submit to ungodliness or sin if required or asked by her husband, but instead she should seek to help him to mature his role and person in Christ Jesus. You hear it every Thanksgiving, and I'll say it again. My wife, Kelly, by far more than my mother, has been the largest sanctifying force in my life. Bar none. I am more like Jesus because of my wife than any other person that the Holy Spirit has used in my life. And much of that came through toil and pain and tears. I would be a profoundly different person if Kelly was not my wife. And if there's anything of good and godliness, it came through her loving me enough to make me grow in maturity as she submitted to my leadership in our home. And then Paul goes on to the reasons for biblical submission, and I'm just going to quickly go over this. What's the reason? Why do we submit? Why are wives called to submission? Four things quickly. Verse 25, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. From the rest of the passage and other biblical texts, we come to an understanding of the reason for a wife's submission is that God created husbands to be the head of the household and the wife to complement him in that role. So the first reason we submit, wives and husbands, is we submit to the authority of the Word of God, period. The second reason for submission is for sanctification. As we learn submission, husbands and wives, but wives today, we are made more Christ-like. As he in his flesh, not desiring the wrath of God upon the cross, submitted to the Father in pain in order to make you glorious. So as you learn to submit, kneel next to Jesus in Gethsemane, as I asked husbands to do last week, because there you're going to be made more like Jesus. The third reason to submit is for the witness of the church. The witness of the church has been tarnished, and I would say the witness of the church is tarnished nowhere more than in the home these days. Because of faulty and wrong teaching. But the connection between Christ and the church and husbands and wives is inseparable. Therefore, we are either good or we are bad witnesses to Christ's headship and the church's submission. And we are to witness to that glory to the fallen and broken world. And then finally, we're called to submit. Wives are called to submit as husbands are, simply for the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus, that above everything, Jesus may shine in and through us, that he might be exalted and glorified. And in that, we might find exceeding joy. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is the chief end of husbands? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. What is the chief end of wives? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we do that? By submitting to the Word of God, thrusting ourselves upon the gospel for the sake of God's glory, that our family might find the fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this text and the richness of it and the richness of its application. The sweetness of it. Father, as we looked at husbands before, as we'll look next week at the connections between these and sin, oh, Father, have mercy on us. Pour out your Spirit upon each heart. Soften each heart. Father, yes, there's already piling up excuses of why we're not going to do this or why we shouldn't do this or why in our own circumstances. May you filter through those with the gospel truth. And then simply call us to obey and trust. In Christ we pray. Amen.
If you would please rise as we sing. We're going to be